sacred sound who? Could you put your shoes behind your chair, please? Thank you. Or underneath or something, yeah. Reach out and touch someone's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master. The spirit of guidance. We are not separate in this work. When we were making the sound who, I was really thinking of that surah in the Quran about the bee. And if you think of that beautiful sound when we're making it, that ooh, you know, and how, you know, that the bees are, you know, they make that amazing community and they work together in harmony and they, feel free, there's some little desks down there, but there are chairs also, you can bring them into the circle if you wish. But the idea that they go out and they collect you know, from these different flowers. It's really very Sufi-like, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then they come together and they make this amazing sweet nectar, you know. And that nectar is so amazing and healing, you know. It's just this beautiful community activity, and in a way that's what we're doing, isn't it? And that it's one of the, I don't know if any of you have studied the various siddhis that open in one's awareness as the consciousness evolves, and that's one of them, hearing that internal sound, the buzzing of the bees, you know. The Hindus don't really describe it, nor do the Buddhist as a who, but it is, you know, that, you know, that buzzing. So, pop quiz time. Does anyone have anything that they recall from yesterday that stood out for them?
You're born with faith, but all the names and forms take you away from that.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. So, we were talking about the subject of faith and how we learn by faith, but in another way, we collect a kind of worldly knowledge that can inhibit true and real faith and trust that the mind can't always apprehend or comprehend. Yeah, that's really important. Anything else that stood out? Yeah, Gaia.
Faith is the secret of all existence.
Isn't it? Faith is the secret of all of creation.
All of creation.
Yeah.
Creation.
All of creation.
And the one I like.
Yeah.
Faith is trust.
Faith
that's
is trust.
Turn it around.
Yeah. So it was clear that Murshid wasn't talking about faith like we would perhaps go to someone and say, you know, what is your faith or what do you believe in? It's not that. It's a kind of ever-living atmosphere, in a way, of trust, you know.
Trust in uncertainty.
Trust in uncertainty? Yeah, absolutely.
The wisdom of unknowing.
The wisdom of unknowing, yeah. Clear mind don't know.
And this is something we all know, but I wrote this down just to remind myself. And we all know this one. Take a path. I'm sorry. Choose a path to take even though you don't know where you're going. Trust your own unknowing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and I think there was a quote someone gave yesterday. Who was that?
There's a dance.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
That's where I...
Yeah, yeah, and it's from Rumi, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Sorry?
It is from Rumi, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? Before we go on to day two? Yeah. Movement. Maybe we should do that practice. But can I read a few words from, first of all, Murshid, Pira Murshid, we would say. In the Sufi movement, we refer to him as Murshid, but Pira Murshid maybe makes it clear. Hazrat Inayat Khan. He just describes it very simply as, O faithful one. But in the Physicians of the Heart, here's a few lines from them. Al-Mu'min is the one who offers to us real faith and real trust that is free of all fear and all deceit. And Murshid talked about how we can become disappointed and we can then start to lose our faith. Even if one person, he said, disappoints us, then we learn to lose trust in 10. And then it multiplies. It's a kind of disease of the mind in a way. Also from the Physicians of the Heart, all human is the divine gift that allows us to feel safety, confidence, and security in our hearts. And lastly, and I think this is also so very important, that it allows us to have trust in God alone. and not to be taken in by secondary causes or what appears on the surface to be the causes of, or conditions. You know, I've said this before, I mean, having lived in the Middle East and being in Morocco and Turkey, you know, everything is inshallah, mashallah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, you know, it's all, everything's alhamdulillah, praise, all is due to God. There's no exception. It's great faith, you know, that's called great faith. I mean, one calls Islam the religion of faith, really. It's the faithful, faithful. You know, it's getting a bad rap a lot, but it's, yeah. But it's not anything distinct from anyone else's principles and beliefs. It gets apparent in human beings' hands. But that whole idea that everything is coming from God and everything is going to God. Shall we do that practice? And consider that. And Murshid will have more words of illumination around this. So we'll just do it 11 times aloud, 11 times on a whisper, and 11 times silently. Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min. Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min, Ya Mu'min, 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 and silently, feeling that trust that all of it, beyond all appearances, is of God and from God. Maybe one of the gentlemen, could you get a chair and enter our sister? No, we're gonna fix it. It's okay. Open the space for two more, one more.
Bless your heart.
Two extra chairs.
Okay.
Absolutely, if you're comfortable. Let's say the invocation again. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. I remember my Rinpoche, Comte Rinpoche, who's I'm so very happy he's still in this body, but I remember him giving me a Dharma teaching on the green Tara, which is my main meditational deity in that tradition. And of course, she's the active principle of, the Buddha's activity, so it's a good one for me. And but he said, see all of form as the, all of form, not only things you consider beautiful, all of form as the emanation of Tara's body, Doma, he calls her Doma. And see all sound, just like all of this screeching of the chairs, as the emanation of her mantra. So it's like, those grating sounds, you just transform them. Here's an irony in life, I find snoring very hard to deal with, and now I've become the great snorer. So, but I had the fortune of traveling one time with Sri Karuna Mahima from the Sri Aurobindo Ashram, and we were in Singapore together. And I love her singing. She has an amazing voice, and I love her teachings. And we were in a room together because we were traveling together, and she really is a snorer too. I think that was pre-snoring for me. And I just thought, before even Rinpoche taught me that, it was many years before, but this is a mantra too, it was, and then I found it soothing instead of grating, It can all be transformed. So we're taking up again day two of this paper on faith from In the Eastern Rose Garden, Sufi Message Volume by Pir Murshid Hazrat Adnayak Khan. And he's going to review a little bit of what we went through yesterday, so you haven't really missed out. He says, what an important part faith plays in life. What an important part faith plays in life. Can there be anything equal to it? The whole of religion is faith. However much people have called the separate religions faiths, faith itself is a religion. Faith itself is a religion. Can everyone hear all right? Yes? Does this mean that one is to believe and trust anyone blindly? Would not that be a blind faith? Would it not be obscuring the reason? The power of discrimination between right and wrong, between possible and impossible, he asks. But the point is that the first lesson to be learnt is to have faith in, fill in the blank, what do you think it says? God. We have one self, we have God.
One's teacher.
One's teacher. Life. Life. To have faith in oneself. But the point is, and those are all good things, faith in, right? Because really, we're not separate from God or teacher, hopefully, right? We have that connection. But the point is that the first lesson to be learnt is to have faith in oneself. How many of us there are who have no faith in themselves? It is the very lack that makes them have no faith in others. That's going to be true of many other things. If we don't trust others, ultimately perhaps we can't trust ourselves. Look at that. Look at that, what we're seeing on others. Is that a part of ourselves that we're seeing externally? I'm not talking from a psychological point of view. I'm talking really from a mystical point of view. How many amongst us are there who have no faith in themselves, It is this very lack that makes them have no faith in others. Because if we had that faith, we wouldn't think that someone else could hurt us or wound us or cheat us or whatever, deceive us. We have faith in ourselves. And honestly, it happens. Why not? It's life. We learn from it. It's natural. These are the things that we experience. A person who does not believe in himself cannot believe in anybody else and is really an unbeliever. Faith must begin within. Faith must begin within. Belief in oneself should be so strong that even if 1,000 people say no, one will say yes. To look to others for every opinion, not trusting oneself to say whether it is day or night, is to end by distrusting others, but by developing a kind of insanity, he says. Isn't it true that that kind of indecision is a kind of insanity? Have you experienced it? Go around in circles, like a caged animal. Can keep going round and round and round. Murshid Salbardowski, you know him, yes, some of you do. He's quite a character. Has this little mustache and this booming voice, and he's the head of the Dervish Healing Order. But I can remember years ago he came to this camp and he said, I always check my breath. But he said, I test it on little things. He said, I open my shirt drawer and I say, should I wear the pink shirt or the blue shirt? And I check my breath. I do it constantly throughout the day. I, you know, just observing the breath, you know, what channel the breath is in can inform you. So what would the left nostril tell us if we ask a question and it's in the left nostril? To take an action or to not take an action?
Hold off.
And then if you check the same thing and it's in the right, then what is it telling you? Go ahead. And if it's in both nostrils? Wait. Yeah, so check that. Watch your breath. Become a master of your own breath. That's part of the science of Sufism. You know, in the old schools, Sufism was considered psychology. It was only one little branch in the madrasas. It was called psychology, Sufism was. Now you made a whole thing out of it. But you know, the ancient and even not so ancient, it's considered psychology, a kind of psychology. So Murshid says, to look to others for every opinion, not trusting oneself to say other way, whether it is day or night, is to end by not only distrusting others, but by developing a kind of insanity. Joe, he always says, flip a coin and then see how you feel when that decision is made for you. That's another good way, right? Yeah. Faith means self-confidence. So it's the key to success. It's the reason behind all of, or it's the cause behind all of creation, and it means self-confidence, right? And trust. The secret of faith is that it can be used as a medicine. The secret of faith is that it can be used as a medicine. if there's anything that can be called the grace of God, it is faith and self-confidence. It is something that one can neither teach nor develop. It must be in one. And one can only strengthen it by loving it, by enjoying it. It must develop by itself. You know, the Buddha says it in a different way. The Buddha says it, I didn't come to teach the way, I came to show the way. It's kind of like that. You know, the Buddha can't do it for you. Teacher really, they can give you signs, they can give you indications, they can give you direction, but really you have to do that work yourself. There's the value of the practice. And of course, to do it every day, even when one doesn't feel like it, is a good thing, good discipline. Faith is, in fact, a power. And watch your step. Faith is, in fact, a kind of power operating all through our lives and imparted to us from the time of our birth. I have a friend of mine, and I won't mention him by name, I don't want to embarrass him, but if he's listening to this, he's going to know who he is. But very famous designer, very famous, he's a living legend, he's in the history books already. He grew up during the time of the Nazi occupation in Germany. And his father was one of those people that was a physician in these kinds of asylums. And so as a child, he saw things that just made him feel there can't be God in any of this. And as he matured, we met each other several years ago, and he still calls. He lives out east now. And, you know, he wants to talk because he understands now that having that kind of view that there's nothing else has been empty for him. Life other than acquiring position or recognition, that only gets you so far. And he's longing to understand this something else. You know, he'll often say that it's so enviable that you have this faith that you have. You know, when we talk about it. But imagine that one's towards the end of one's life realizing that. And one can understand why. It's what Murshid was talking about yesterday, how one's faith can be broken by disappointment, you know, or seeing what we can't even imagine, perhaps he was witness to. Faith is, in fact, a power operating all through our lives and imparted to us from the time of our birth. This power is obscured as soon as reason is developed, which occurs during the process of acquiring knowledge needed for merely maintaining life. Knowledge merely for maintaining life. And then one loses one's self-confidence as well as one's confidence in others. So he keeps going back and forth between this. This is doubt, which is the greatest enemy of the soul. This is doubt, which is the greatest enemy of the soul in its progress towards self-realization. Shall I read it again?
Yeah.
Faith is in fact a power operating all through our lives and imparted to us from the time of our birth. This power is obscured as soon as reason is developed, which occurs during the process of acquiring knowledge, which is needed for merely maintaining life. And then one loses one's self-confidence, as well as one's confidence in others. This is doubt, which is the greatest enemy of the soul in its progress towards self-realization. So what's the antidote to that? The mantra? I did tell you yesterday. What is it?
A new hope is in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere.
Yeah. And is there another one? Yeah, mu'min. And another one?
We missed something.
No, you didn't. You didn't miss anything. Farhad, do you remember? Yes, you do. You do because you refer to it during your own class. It was from a children's book.
I think I can. I think it is in there.
I know I can.
Towards self-realization. There's the goal, self-realization. You know, God-realization is only half the journey, folks. The complete cycle is then bringing that God-realization into self, self-realization. So, I think I can, I know I can, I am, right? But you must believe it. No one else can do that. It's your birthright. It's not only your birthright, it's your dharma. It's your duty. It's your duty. It's your duty to wake up and to be a kind of battery charger for other people to wake up by. And that takes great faith. And we know that because all we have to do is look at all of the great teachers and the small teachers. They've all done it by great faith. And a kind of self-confidence, but not that small ego self-confidence. The fact I can be used, I can be empty enough to be a conduit for this activity or this responsibility. Does that make sense?
Kenosis.
Yeah. And then so he says, this is doubt, which is the greatest enemy of the soul in its progress toward self-realization. It is removed, that doubt, it is removed as soon as one perceives that faith is really a power from God, by which he, capital he, she, it, God, by which God seeks to express himself, herself, itself, oneself, through the individual. So again, it is removed as soon as one perceives that that faith is really a power from God, by which God seeks to express God through the individual, through you. And again, you know, I love the quote by Mother Teresa. We may not do great things, but we can do small things with great love. So we don't have to have these grandiose expectations, if that comes, if that's part of your work, if that's put before you, yes. But one doesn't have to trouble oneself over it. It will come. Any questions or comments or thoughts or feelings?
Reconciling, I almost understand it, but how we can't actually work towards faith unless it's just by removing doubt. Is that what I forgot the exact? It's a natural birthright and it gets obscured, and you can't really work towards achieving faith. Is it because it's already there?
And it's there.
Removing the
obscurations, one could say. Yeah, it's like removing the clouds before the sun. But it's like anything. I mean, we have to kind of keep tuning to that channel. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever really been in, seriously, I mean, how many of us think we have to figure it all out? That we can think our way through it, we can maneuver our way through it, we can whatever, you know? And it's not always, it's not possible. We talked about this last class, too. It's a kind of act of willing surrender. Let me see if I can remember the words. There's a prayer that I think Murshid Sam gave to his students, his immediate students, and maybe others know this, but I'll see if I can recall it. Maybe Zahir. Okay. I surrender to thee, and to thee I willingly surrender, and thou shalt lift me spiritually. It's like that.
Ya Allah, in love, reverence, and humility, I surrender to thee and to thee alone, and thou dost raise me spiritually.
Yeah. So that's a very, I surrender to thee. I mean, Wally Ollie's transmitted it that way. I surrender to thee, and to thee alone do I surrender, and thou shalt raise me spiritually. That takes great faith, too, to put it down. I have to say, I think I was very blessed to be in a household of great faith, My mom believed in the power of prayer. People asked her to pray for them, and things would happen when she prayed. And she had her own way of using rosary. She'd made up all this way of praying, but she believed in it, and it changed her, for her to live 15 years with that serious cancer, that praying for other people helped her. It's amazing. And so, she'd always say, I'm not going to worry. Or she'd do things even like the refrigerator was breaking, and she was we were poor, she was trying to raise these two girls on her own, and she put her hands on the refrigerator, start praying, I'm praying to St. Anthony for a miracle, and the refrigerator would start running. She'd lay the hands on the refrigerator, for God's sake. But she believed it, she had an incredible will as well, but I think that was the grace of God. But, those kinds of things, pray on this car so it'll go, keep us safe. So, Trust.
Do you think that her faith grew from faith into just knowing?
That's a good question.
Because when a person comes to know something, it goes beyond faith. You no longer just hope and pray and
right.
Have faith.
Right. You have confidence, you know. I mean, I think that's what Mershit's talking about, is that confidence. She had confidence that prayer would change things, you know.
Yeah.
She really did.
That's what I was reading with what you were saying, that she got to the point. It wasn't just faith anymore.
Yeah.
She knew it.
She'd always, if people told her her troubles, and a lot of people did, that's running the family, but she'd always say, don't worry, I'm going to pray for you. You know, and when she died like this. All her rosaries were all wrapped around. Just like this. Praying. How wonderful is that? She was a pistol too, let me tell you. She was a lot of piss and vinegar. But anyway, thank you, Mom. Confidence is assured not by blind belief. Confidence is assured not by blind belief, but by careful insight into life, which surrounds us. You know, not being fooled by appearances. Farhad, in your class, you were talking about vibration. It's like that. When we start to operate at that level of vibration, we're not just listening to people's words or looking at their expressions. We have something else that we're experiencing, or the impulses of nature, or, you know, the feelings that arise from within. They're all a kind of vibration that we can tune into. Confidence is assured not by blind belief, but by careful insight into life, which surrounds us. I'll go on. The higher self is then able to, like the rider on a horse, the higher self is then able to be like the rider on a horse and direct all the affairs and actions of the lower self. So being able to control those, you know, the impulses too, you know, being able to, I mean, that's the real renunciation. People think renunciation means running around in rags and not having money. That's not it at all. The real renunciation is controlling these impulses and renouncing them. That's it. For one's own evolution and self-realization. Faith defends the innate desire of the higher self. Faith defends, like the soldier, the knight, faith defends the desire of the higher self. And the more faith develops, the greater its influence through us upon our environment. Yeah, it's really amazing. It's so, I mean, if we could just grasp a glimpse of this, we would become... We are already such magnificent beings, but we would really fully harness that power. Faith defends the innate desire of the higher self. And the more faith develops, the greater its influence through us upon our whole environment. Faith breeds faith. You've heard the expression, a leap of faith, right? sometimes it's that. I'm sorry, it's a lot of words, but you know what? In the bottom line is, you either trust it or you don't. You feel it or you don't. I wish I could make some sort of miracle happen right now so that you could, have that faith. But haven't you had miracles in your life?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. And you don't know how it happened or why it happened. It just is. It's a blessing.
Sometimes the bad accidents are the best miracles.
Sometimes the worst serious illnesses that people have are the best blessing too. They cure you of so many other things. Healing's not just the body, it's the spirit as well.
What says we cannot see God? Where does that come from?
Oh, I just think that that's... I have my own ideas about it, but I maybe don't want to go into it. I think that there's a hierarchy that makes us believe that, but I think God is... We are seeing God right now, right here.
That's not what we're taught.
No, because we're told we need an intercessory person.
Or we get stuck in conception.
Well, that's a lot of what happens, too. We're trying to think about it, and we're trying to understand it. Like, there's those two sayings, I'll believe it when I see it, mm-hmm. Or the other one is, I'll see it when I believe it, right? Right?
Backwards, but it gets there.
Right? It does. It absolutely does.
What happens when you know it?
Then you know it. There's not much more to talk about, is there?
No.
When you know it, you just are it. You're it.
It's it.
You're it. It's it.
It's it.
It's it.
Another two-letter word, huh?
It. Yeah.
Well, it is present.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Faith breeds faith. And then he goes on to say, and also faith must dominate the reason and direct the reason. It will do this the more surely when we realize that, okay, here we go, listen up. It will do this more surely when we realize that every thought, every desire, and impulse that comes to our heart is from God. That's God speaking to us. And he's saying every thought. Sometimes those might be things that, you hear that people have maybe poisonous thoughts or hurtful thoughts that are there. That's still part of God. It's ours to wrestle with that. The thorns can be there too, but they also can be a motivation.
A couple of years ago, I had the realization that God's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's right.
Everything.
Could you say that again? I missed it.
I said, God's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's just everything. I think it's not discriminating.
But we are.
Yeah.
We'd make those terms.
Yep.
I was walking down the street in on the island of Crete one day, and this man, who I now know was a dervish, rushed by me and whispered, "There is no rose without a thorn." And I turned around, and he was gone. Wow. I'm like, holy shit. My first Sufi encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I came back to Texas and I met the Sufis.
Oh.
And gradually over the years came to realize that this man was a dervish, and he must have recognized me.
That's what I'm saying. He thought you are the rose without the thorn. He was giving you that as a message.
There is no rose without a thorn. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's what reminded me.
It's all there. And it's all just, it's really at one level, just all energy, and we want to identify it and fixate on it. Well, and we're reading from In the Eastern Rose Garden. You know, and where Murshid lived, I know it's changed a bit now, but there were roses everywhere in the garden. Well, this is another thing. I'm going to tell you this little story that Murshid tells, and then we'll maybe do the practice again, and then we'll conclude. In India, birds are made to fight as a sport. You know, like cockfights, right? Two birds are brought together on a table while all stand around to see the fun. As soon as the birds see each other, they begin to attack each other. The owner of each bird thinks that his bird will win. But as soon as it appears that one bird will be beaten, the owner takes it away, saying to the other, "You have won. We will not continue the fight." This is because he wants to save his bird from being disappointed. And then, he says, the bird would then be without faith. So, when you're going through a difficult time, perhaps your faith is being tested, and it's an opportunity to increase it instead of losing faith. All coming from God, right? So we can get stronger from it. Can get stronger from it. Have I told you that little, it's a cartoon, so I can describe it, about the people carrying their crosses? Have I told you the story about them, several people dragging their crosses over their shoulders, and there's this one guy's kvetching, and it's like, oh my God, couldn't you just make this a little bit lighter? It's so heavy. And it's like, okay. So he gets to saw a little bit of his cross off. He's dragging it. He's still kvetching. It's like, oh my God, it's still so heavy. God, couldn't you make this a little bit lighter? And okay, so he stops. He saws some more of it off. Then they get to this big crevice. And all those people with those heavy crosses have the length to breach that crevice and walk across, and he's left behind because he's lightened his load. He doesn't have the ability to reach the other side.
The cross to bear, that's why.
Maybe you could have a bonfire.
Well, he's going to need something. Yeah. He's probably going to get eaten, left behind. Remember, sometimes you're getting beaten up a little bit by life, but you'll get stronger from it, and your faith can increase.
And that's where the trust comes in.
And that's where the trust comes. And this too will pass also. You have to remember that. And that was one of the great teachings that Amchuk Rinpoche is. His teaching was, I remember sitting with him in Dharamsala, and we were, Joe and I were visiting with him, and he said, you know, the nature of impermanence is what gives me such great faith, knowing that all of this is passing. Nothing stays. It's all passing. It gives me great faith and courage in things. Does it help? It helps me. I hope you're getting something out of it.
He lost me on the passing.
On the what?
Passing.
The passing.
Yes.
What do you mean the passing?
Did you say something was passing?
All of life is passing. Everything's impermanent. We eat the food and then, you know, a little while we poop it out and then we're hungry again, you know? It's passing. We have a great love and then we decide, oh, I'm not really into that person. I'll go over there and get that person, you know? Or we have to have something. It's all passing. You know, life is all, it's all impermanent. Nothing's fixed. We think it's fixed. But we're all changing every moment. You know, the tree isn't the same tree.
You're adding to it, too.
Yeah, we are. Hopefully very lightly.
I think it increases awe and what's next?
Yeah. It's like, wonder what could be next. And that's what to remember, what could be around that next corner. When you feel despair, my greatest despairs have led to the greatest triumphs, I can tell you that. And that gives me courage, because I know sometimes it can be so dark, you know, and if you've gone through those dark nights or the, you know, you really just think, oh my God, you know, how am I going to even take another breath? And then you do, and then you realize you take another one. You know, and of course, I keep saying the same thing, so I'm probably getting pretty boring, but, you know, I love that passage in St. John of the Cross about the dark night is really not dark at all. It's incredibly bright light that you're being bathed in, and you're being blinded by it, like the eye of an owl that's been exposed to very bright light. It appears you're in darkness, but you're really in incredible light. Have you all read that text? There were years of complete and utter despair. And I had to turn to that text. I thought, there are maps. Other people have been through this. I can't be the only one. And then I thought, oh, St. John of the Cross. And then also the really beautiful book by St. Teresa of Avila, The Interior Mansion, or The Interior Castle. It's sometimes translated that way. You can get those books in PDFs, you know, just Google. And I mean, you will find incredible wisdom to help you through those difficult times. Really make you have a lot of courage, and that increases one's faith. Well, someone else has been through it, and they've made it, and they kind of have a map that I can look at and follow. There's that great quote in, there's that Buddhist Sutra, and it's quite long, but it goes through, the first line of it is, suffering leads to happiness. And it goes through how it just takes this through this path, how we then can get non-attached in a way, and then realize that's true happiness, is having true independence and indifference, which is raises us above the ideas of selfhood and attachments. It's an incredible freedom one can have. But again, they're just words and concepts. Okay. Yeah, movement. Yeah, movement. Yeah, movement. Yeah, movement. Yeah, movement. Yeah. Movement, yeah, 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 movement. Yeah, movement, 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 and whisper. Silently, feeling that faith and trust and confidence being nurtured, like blowing on an amber and assisting in it growing brighter and stronger and more vibrant. Yeah, movement. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. Now just breathe in that phrase, a new hope is born in my heart, and breathe out by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. A new hope is born in my heart by breathing thy peaceful atmosphere. Amen. Send that peaceful atmosphere out. Share it. Amen.